that verified blue check on Twitter, worth $240 a year? The Dow had its biggest monthly gain since 1976, and Elon Musk and a conspiracy theory about Paul Pelosi made the news. And it's just the beginning. Welcome to the Halloween edition of the Business News Headlines. Glad you're here. In other news, the United States Post Office says don't use their big blue mailboxes. What's that about? We'll tell you. The Fed, interest rates, and you. It all matters. Amazon and Apple see a slowdown coming from consumers. We've got the Wall Street Report, and the Supreme Court will hear a case that could change the internet. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. Also happens to be Halloween, so we got some spooky stories coming up for you. Can Twitter get any stranger? Hey, speaking of Twitter, you can find us there. We're still on the platform at IOB_NewsHour. Well, it's been a day that ends in Y, so we've got to have some Twitter news for you. That little blue check next to some Twitter accounts means that account is verified by Twitter. Now, according to news from CNN, that symbol could cost users $20 a month. All of that according to internal documents viewed by the news network. It is possible the plan and pricing could change as Twitter's new billionaire owner Elon Musk works to put his stamp on one of the world's most important social media platforms. It is also unclear if some verified users will be exempt from paying the fee, because many international organizations and charities, for example, are already verified on Twitter. Now, while the blue checkmark has emerged as a status symbol for some users, it's also designed to ensure users can determine which accounts are authentic and which are not, particularly for celebrities, brands, news people, and other influential accounts. Now, if Musk were to create a paid barrier for verification, it could make it harder to distinguish whether a notable name is a bot or not. It was a good month for the Dow Industrial Average. The Blue Chip Index had its best month since 1976. While the Dow finished today off by about 128 points, October still was the best month for the index in 45 years. Meanwhile, the S&P 500, which closed down about 0.8%, has dropped about 20% of its value so far this year. The tech-heavy NASDAQ finished 1% lower and has plunged by 30% this year. But both indexes also had strong Octobers. The NASDAQ rose by about 4%, while the S&P 500 was up by 8%. The numbers from today, well, those are coming up shortly. All right. One more Elon Musk story, and this is a doozy. CNN is reporting this past Sunday, Musk gave credence to a fringe conspiracy theory about the violent attack on Paul Pelosi. That would be the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi's husband. The new Twitter owner tweeted a link to an article full of baseless claims about Pelosi. The article was posted on a website that purports to be a news outlet. Musk, who has 112 million followers on the platform he now owns, posted the baseless story about Pelosi in response to a tweet from Hillary Clinton. He later deleted the tweet, but not before racking up more than 28,000 retweets and 100,000 likes. So what was all this about? Well, linking to a Los Angeles Times story about Pelosi's alleged attacker, this is what Hillary Clinton wrote, quote, "The Republican Party and its mouthpieces now regularly spread hate and deranged conspiracy theories. It's shocking, but also not surprising that violence is the result. As citizens, we must hold them accountable for their words and the actions that follow," end quote. So in response, Musk linked to the baseless story and wrote this, quote, There is a tiny possibility there might be more to this story than meets the eye. End quote. Back in 2016, the same website falsely claimed that Clinton had died and the person on the presidential campaign trail was not her, but her body double. All this and Musk has owned Twitter for less than a week. Well, here's another wild story and perhaps a reflection on the time in which we live. 24/7 Wall Street is reporting that the U.S. Postal Service has warned people not to use its blue boxes on specific dates. What? It particularly warned about the chance of theft from those on Sundays and on holidays. The USPS's warning suggests how people might dodge the trouble by consumers simply using retail service inside a post office or wall drop slots to send their U.S. mail instead of depositing it to sit outside overnight or through the weekend. Now, the blue collection boxes would not be as enticing after business hours to mail thieves for identity theft and check washing schemes. End quote. Now, as a solution, people could go to their local post office or put mail in the boxes after the last dispatch time. But that's kind of complicated because you got to figure out when the last dispatch time is. It's also pretty inconvenient. I wish we could say that we made that one up. Well, another rate hike by the Fed is on the way. The question is, what might this mean for you? Fed watchers expect the central bank to raise rates by 75 basis points or 0.75%. CNBC is reporting that the Fed has already hiked its benchmark short-term rate 3 percentage points since March, including 3 straight 0.75% increases ahead of the upcoming policy meeting. So, while all this is happening, how's it going to impact you? Well, first of all, expect mortgage rates to continue to climb. Right now, the 30-year fixed rate is near 7%, and that's if you put down 20% and have excellent credit. If not, you're likely to pay more. Then there are credit cards. Since most credit cards have a variable rate, there's a direct connection to the Fed's benchmark. As the federal funds rate rises, the prime rate does as well, and credit card rates will follow suit. Annual percentage rates are closing in on 19% on average, up from 16.3% at the beginning of the year. That information according to Bankrate. Further, households are increasingly leaning on credit cards to afford basic necessities since incomes have not kept pace with inflation. How about auto loans? Now, even though auto loans are fixed, payments are getting bigger because the price for all cars is rising along with the interest rates on new loans. So if you're planning to buy a car, you're going to shell out more in the months ahead. Car loan rates are the highest they've been in 11 years, just in case you were wondering. How about student loans? Well, Congress sets the rate for federal student loans. Currently, that rate is 4.99%. However, private student loans tend to have a variable rate tied to the prime or treasury bill rates, and that means that as the Fed raises rates, those borrowers are also paying more in interest. How much more? Well, that'll vary with the benchmark. Currently, average private student loan fixed rates can range from 3.22% to 14.96% and 2.5% to 12.9% for variable rates, according to Bankrate. As with auto loans, they vary widely based on your credit score. But there is some good news coming. Interest rates on savings accounts should be going up. While the Fed has no direct influence on deposit rates, they tend to be correlated to changes in the target federal funds rate. And the savings account rates at some of the largest retail banks, which have been near rock bottom during most of the COVID pandemic, are currently up by 0.2% on average. Now, thanks in part to lower overhead expenses, top-yielding online savings account rates are as high as 3.5%, much higher than the average rate from a traditional brick-and-mortar bank. The bet is you could see 4% by the end of the year. Consumers, that would be you and me, have continued to spend, some using credit cards, others using savings or other income. Still, some big names out there are looking ahead and saying that trend may not continue. USA Today is reporting that e-commerce giant Amazon.com and gadget maker Apple raised eyebrows with disappointing sales outlooks going into the year-end holidays. Both companies expect sales growth in the final quarter to slow as inflation eats into consumer spending. Amazon stock fell on the news, but Apple stock rose. Though those are only two companies, they're among the largest and can give investors some insight into economic trends, which, by the way, may move and how consumers are behaving even before the government reports makes those tallies. Amazon said it expects its fourth quarter sales to grow by only 2 to 8% from the year-ago quarter, and operating profit could be as low as zero. Meanwhile, Apple remained cagey on its sales guidance. It would only say that it expected sales to grow less than 8% in the third quarter, even though the fourth quarter has an extra week. Sales of Mac computers and services, they said, are slowing. All three of the major indexes ended the day in the red, but as we reported earlier, October was a good month for the Dow, the best in 45 years. At the bell, the blue chips retreated by 128 points to end the day and the month at 32,732. The NASDAQ, weighed down by some tech stocks, sank by 114 points to settle at 10,988. And the S&P 500 finished the day and the month down by 29 points at 3871. And finally, there is this, and this has to do with the internet. The U.S. Supreme Court is set to hear a lawsuit on the federal shield law known as Section 230, which could have a massive implication for algorithms that promote content as well as content moderation. Section 230 has long protected internet companies, including Google and Facebook, from liability for harmful content posted by users. But plaintiffs in Gonzalez versus Google argue the tech giant is liable for steering viewers toward violent content. So far, legislative attempts to alter Section 230 have fallen short. The family of Naomi Gonzalez, a victim of a 2015 Islamic State terror attack in Paris, contends that Google-owned YouTube promoted violent ISIS videos, hence the suit. Well, that's a wrap for the business news headlines for today. Thanks so very much for joining us. Happy Halloween, by the way. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.